Good evening, everybody. When I arrived, my wife told me that, oh, there's a pastor. Oh, really? No, he was not supposed to be here. No. So, he's going to preach then, okay? So, remember that the game last time, okay, you bring me any topic, I will cook it. So, I trust him, but he's raw, and, you know, he's tired, so, okay, I will do it. But usually, I stand on the floor because this is, you know, minister's pulpit. So, I just, you know, this is my heart. And then I talked the less, and then, okay, but we have to, you know, record also someone using this one. So, therefore, I asked David, where's the little David, and I asked him for forgiveness. Okay, also with my pastor's, you know, forgiveness, and then I'm using your pulpit, Pastor. And then also I feel very well accompanied spiritually because Pastor is here, right? So I'm so glad. And did you have some nap time this afternoon? No. Yes. And of course I couldn't because of this. And so let's pray before. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We just came here and got together this evening because simply we love you. And we just want to learn something from you, Lord. And when I speak, please control my lips so that they don't go astray. They don't go deviate from the truth. In your son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And my friends, sometimes they say, how come do you believe the Bible? The book of truth. Yeah, who is the main, you know, character there? Jesus, right? Yes. Did he write books? No. Yeah, all the old, you know, disciples, right? They wrote the books, right? Right. How come then you believe that? Is that truth? And so, I think probably you received these similar challenges from non-Christian, non-believers here. It's very hard to prove, right? But I have a good thing here. And I just want to share it with you this evening. And then I hope that you use the same strategy whenever you receive this kind of unexpected challenge. That is that when... It, actually, the Buddha didn't write the book either. So there are so many books, they say 80,000 Bibles there. And all the, obviously Buddha preached. And then, obviously, I mean, they jot it down and they made a book. Yeah, but when you write a book, it's let's say the man's, several people writing a book, naturally, they try to beautify the things, everything is possible, because, you know, in honor, right, for honor their God, the founder. That's a natural thing. But when you see some here horrible things in the book, as is written, as it was, then, are you ready to believe that? Are you ready to accept that this book is actually the book of truth? Yeah, okay. So, therefore, do you have a book? No, I don't need. Okay, let me give you one. And so, let's go back to, you know, here, the Matthew. Everybody, famous genealogy. There are so many secrets here. We are already familiar with this passage. Million times we have read already. But I just want to share with you my discovery with you. So everybody, genealogy, we are going to read verses 1 through 6. And six will be, you know, highlights of this evening. So here, okay, everybody, I think we need to read together, all together, right? Everybody ready? Ready? Go. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ. I only hear my voice. A different version. Okay, that reminds me. That reminds me how many people here using King James Version. Raise your hand. How many people using NIV, New International? Okay. How many people NASB, Pastor? A year, okay. So I think we need to go back to the King James Version, by the way. I don't know. Or NASB. I don't know. Okay, so let me read. I'm reading, by the way, NS, you know, New American Standard, okay? This is another classic. I just like, American King James Version. So the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Nothing wrong there, okay? Everybody, fine. Problem comes here, verse 2. Big trouble here. Number 2, verse 2, to Abraham was born Isaac, and Isaac, Jacob, and to Jacob, Judah, and his brothers. How many sons did he have? Jacob, how many? 12 tribes. We know that, right? 12, right? 12. Who was the first son? Reuben. Second one? Simeon, okay? Third, Levi. You all failed this evening, okay? Number four is what? Judah. This is number four son. How come, and to Jacob, Reuben, and his brothers? I mean, the first fruit belonged to God. God clearly says that in the Old Testament. Even animals, the first fruit, belongs to God. Even still up to now, or all Asian countries, that first son is important. First son, inherit everything the father has. Also responsibility too. Right? That's fair, right? But, parents get older and you have to take care. And it's changing. But the first son, the birthright is extremely important. How come number four son shows up here to Jacob, Judah, and his brothers? That is a problem here. Have you noticed that, this problem? Or you just read Judah and... Not only that, look at Judah's kingdom, Israel. I mean, Judah. So what is good thing about Judah? What happened, Reuben? Reuben was good, nice guy. When all the jealous brothers want to kill him, and he just, okay, no, we may not kill. Okay? So here's a nice guy. What happened to him? Why he lost his birthright? Because he slept with one of his father's concubine, Bilhah. Oops. That's only wrong thing. And yet it's a big thing at the same time. It is not only talking about adultery. Concubine wife, technically speaking, she was your mom. It is an incest too at the same time. Serious. And then the Bible says all you or people knew, including Israel, which is Jacob's name, changed the name, and he didn't say anything. Until his last moment, he cursed his son. What happened? Okay, so therefore, first son is lost his right. How about Simeon and Levi? I think this is, you know, sometimes I think it's not fair because they did the right thing because their sister Dina was raped. Remember that? Raped? So therefore they killed the guy who raped their daughter, right? So they didn't please Jacob the father either. So you guys are so cruel. You just, you know, love blood. Lord, I mean, you know, their sister got raped. But anyhow, so that's why naturally Judah and his brothers. But interesting now, let's go verse 3. And Judah were born of Perez and Zerah by who? By who? Do you know who she was? His daughter-in-law, right? What is happening here? All these horrible things from the very first book, Matthew. If I were a writer, human, okay, oh, no, this is no good. No, I want to take it close enough. No. I want to try to beautify beautiful things only, right? No, these horrible things written here, as it was. This is the book of truth. This is the book of truth. I insist. And then, you know, what happened is that he had two sons and then passed away, and he didn't have any son, right? So therefore, you know the story, okay? I think, you know, the Jacob was kind of worried, you know, whenever, you know, my son, okay, married this woman, died, so that's something going on. But anyhow, she just disguised herself, right, a prostitute, and so that thing. But according to Jewish culture, she was right. Actually, Judah said, okay, she was right, I was wrong. He confessed. Anyhow, between that line and then what? Verse 4, and Ram was born Amminadab, and Amminadab Nashon, and Nashon Salmon. And verse 5 and 6 is, you know, a lot of things to talk. The Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab. Do you know? Are you familiar with her? Who is she? Huh? She was what? Canaanite and the prostitute of Jericho, right? He covered the spies, right? And saved. Prostitute in putting God's genealogy? Who is going to do that? But God is written, prostitute, in the genealogy of God here. How about that? Intellectually, do you think this is a book of truth then? I wouldn't put this thing, the prostitute, harlot here in genealogy of my God. No, I wouldn't do that. But book is written. Maybe Matthew, who is the author of this book, thought the same thing, but he was inspired the Holy Ghost. No. No. You are not going to do that. No. Write down as it is. And Rahab, got saved. Not only her whole family. So that is still debate going on. Okay. Actually, Rahab was not prostitute. She had an inn. Okay. And some people, yes, he was. She was. God is not interested in that thing. God is interested in her heart here. And they put, no, Rahab, we know that she was a harlot, prostitute, put it there. Now, and Boaz was born Obed and Ruth. By what? By who? Which lady? Ruth. Do you know who? Is she Ruth? I mean, these horrible things here in the genealogy here, first part. New Testament. She was, I think, you know, the one time in New Testament, I think Deuteronomy 3 to 6, verse chapter, I'm not quite sure the part, but Amorite and Moabite, they were excluded. They were not supposed to mingle, okay? They were not supposed to marry each other to begin with. So therefore, Ruth was what? Gentile. Is that clear? So this, we are talking about genealogy of God. Prostitute, which she was all Gentile, Canaanite. Also the another Moabite here. Wow. I have to believe, according to my logical, you know, thought, I have to believe that this book is book of truth. And then Ruth was, I mean, what kind of woman she was? Mom, don't entreat me to go. No, wherever you go, I go with you. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. She confessed. Look. This action was righteous before God. So she is now honored. Whenever we read this, you know, book, Matthew, her name is mentioned. Until Jesus comes back. What kind of honor is that? So I said, okay, look, do you know, I mean, these people, they asked to bring me, brought me that, this kind of questions. They don't even know that. This is the horrible person. Each one is not perfect. You think that all genealogy, line, birth line of Jesus must be perfect, beautiful. No, look. And then verse number 6. And to Jesse was born King David, right? David, the king. And to David was born Solomon by her. That is another problem here. Why by her? Why by her? The author, after recalling all these strange names, all of a sudden, he forgot her name? All of a sudden, Bathsheba, he forgot her name? Why he put her, a pronoun? Because God want to give honor to whom? Uriah, look, and her who had been the wife of Uriah. So for God, Bathsheba still was, right, wife of Uriah. Who is Uriah's general? We know that. Hittite. He was another Gentile. It's not pure blood either. Think about it here logically. By her, if the author had written here, instead of her pronoun, let's say Bathsheba, then what? You don't need to say Uriah there, right? Woman, and, you know, by this woman, some boy was born, period. Then where's Uriah? Uriah's gone. No, that was not God's intention. God's intention was to give honor to Uriah. He was so righteous man, we know that. Actually, he, you know, King David brought him, right, to cover his sin, go and sleep with your wife. He didn't go. He stayed in the backyard there and slept. What kind of righteous man he was? It's not an Israelite. So God loved him. We all love him. So whenever we read this genealogy, his name is mentioned necessarily, and he's honored this way. This is the book of truth. This is the book of truth for me. Why all of them by her? And so that's what I said, okay, we have to go back to the King James Version, is that new editions here comes, and the new NIV, all the books, they just changed this one by her, Bathsheba. New editions, even NSSB might have old version, which is 74, 20-something, they revised one more time. This time they use Bathsheba. Do you think that the author didn't know the name? Insulting here. That's God's intention. Then you don't need to say then Uriah then. And as a result of that, that adultery between David and Bathsheba, God, what did God do? God killed the baby. That's not right, right? God killed the baby. And you know, the David fasted what? You know, 1 week, 2 weeks, and please say no. God killed. That means that God didn't approve that. And that's the beginning of a tragedy of David's life. We still love David, King David. That's the beginning of what? Tragedy. How in the world that, okay, so why, it has to do, all these things that happen from the second to sixth, has to do with the sexual immoralities. You just go to the internet, the sexual immorality of the Bible, Old Testament, especially the Exodus and Deuteronomy, all kind of, beyond our imagination, sexual immorality is there, right? How about New Testament? Our brother Paul spent a lot of time talking about sexual sins, right? And I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I remember pastors also read something. Yeah, those guys who practice sexual immorality and fornication, adultery, they don't go to the king. They don't enter the kingdom of God. How do we interpret this thing? Including all Christians. If they practice this thing. You know the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, there's sexual immorality there. We are talking about not homosexuality. We don't even talk about homosexuality. Normal sexual relationship, and yet those actions doesn't please God. We're talking about this part. And that is consequence there. By the way, That is what? All sins, I forgot the thing, but the sexual sin, actually you sin against your own body. Remember that? So sexual sin, immorality, is a very special, very unique. I know stealing a pen and, cheating sin, right? And sexual immorality, also sin, yes. But this is very unique because when you practice this thing, you commit sin against your own body. Wow. I just, checked the internet that interpretation, scholars here and there, what it means is against. But very unique. All sins out of your body, but sexual sins, you sin against your own body. Very unique. Very special. And that is a consequence there. Or look at consequences here. From 2 to 6. And obviously, my conclusion is that, sexual sin is way more serious than stealing office supplies. And much more serious than cheating on tax return. much more serious and dangerous than lying to your brother and sisters. That was my understanding. And nowadays, you know, the pastor was so disappointed. He sent out the take a stand, write the letter. How many responded he got? That is not even in, you know, topic here. I mean, talking about regular, I mean, normal relationship. But in going, I mean, even Arab Muslim countries, they don't practice that one. Being United States, look at the Satan country. There's a devil country. They do. They even allow their marriage officially. You see what I'm saying? With preaching from, you know, again and again, we have been preaching on those guys. Look what they're doing. Are we proud of that? Sexual sin is a serious and dangerous. I think, you know, cheating on tax return is way better than committing sexual sin. I hope that young generation, they hope that, you know, understand these kind of things. Sexual immorality. What's the definition of sexual immorality? Beyond sexual relationship, beyond marriage, period. While there are fornication, which is not married young, you know, that kind of adultery, you know, the married people, and that kind of, you know, subdivision. Yeah, but bottom line is that all sexual abnormal relationship beyond marriage, period, right? That, but look at, you know, students, you know, I'm showing up, and she's 15. Very tiny girls and thin. So how old are you? 15. Where do you live? Artesia. And she does, you know, and missed one class. I just called her. Why? She has baby. 15 years old girl already. Wow. I think they have consequences there. Either they believe the Bible or not, it doesn't matter. There is a consequence for that. And so I think, you know, again, here, I just look at here, verses 1 through 6, that so many things here. I think with this argument, I think I'm able to convince my, okay, look, this is a book. King. Who is David? David is the king of kings. I mean, yet, he did these horrible things. And yet, God didn't recognize their relationship. God doesn't want her name be mentioned here by her. By her. Instead, God want to give his honor to whom? To Uriah. He's a Hittite. He's not Israelite. All these Gentiles, first part of genealogy, Gentiles here. So this is, it has to be book of truth. This is my logical conclusion. And so that way, I just, you know, challenges, I usually used to be, you know, they'll argue with the people and them, and you know, I don't do anymore. But nicely sometimes come to me and laughing and smiling here and teasing me up, and you know, how in the world that you do this thing, you believe this thing, and then you know, I always use this one, 1 through 6, period, first part of genealogy. Tells everything. So this is a book for me, obviously, the book of God and book of truth. Okay, I promised it's about a little less than 30 minutes. Yeah, okay, everybody happy now. Okay, I like it. So I want to ask Pastor David to, for conclude, you know, closing blessing.